Song. Be thinking about the words as a song of praise. Talks about what are the words that, of that third verse or the second to last verse. I sing in my rapture, all glory to God for such a redeemer as mine. And then the last verse, it talks about, I'll shout with the millions on high, for what? That He hides my soul, that I'm redeemed of the Lord. It's a song of praise unto the Lord. And that's very good because it fits right in with what we're going to talk about this afternoon. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to direct your attention to verse 21. And we'll read on from there down through verse 38. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they were had performed all these according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. We're going to spend some time in this section of Luke chapter 2 this afternoon. And to begin, let me just introduce or the subject by just a realization. This present time, which is a few days after Christmas, typically for me is like, it's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of in between the holidays, in between Christmas and in between New Year's and stuff like that. But leading up to Christmas, there's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of preparation. There's the Christmas program and there's all the Christmas shopping and then there's all the things, right? And then Christmas Day comes and all of the festivities and the meals and the games and all the fun stuff that we do, it all happens and then it's over. And it's sort of like a feeling of, now what? You know, there's all the preparation, there's all the work leading up to it, and then it's done, and it's sort of like, now what? Right? That's sort of how it is for me sometimes at Christmas time, and we could say that the meals have been eaten, the festivities have been had. For the most part, this year is coming to a close, and that feeling can be present of, now what? We look to the next thing. Well, I said that to sort of introduce that in our text, There was a lot of excitement prior to this. In chapter 1, the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a son who was a virgin. And there was just these expectations and there's these things that were just mind-blowing. And then the angel came to Zacharias and said, you and your wife are going to have a son, and they're old and well-stricken in years and past childbearing. There was a lot of excitement of things that were to come and were about to happen in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And now, Jesus is born. The Lamb of God has been born. God Himself has stepped out of eternity and entered into human history. This one that was promised so long ago, this one that was prepared of God has been provided. Jesus is born. All of the things that the angel said were going to happen have happened. And now what? And now what? Well, our text takes us to Jerusalem for an event that occurred 40 days after Jesus was born and laid in a manger. The text says that when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised as prescribed by the law of Moses. You can read that in Leviticus 12:3. But then, after 40 days, Mary had reached the end of her purification period, which was also according to the law of Moses. Leviticus 12:1-4 speaks of that. And they bring Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, the text says. And while they're there, this special event occurs. The Bible tells us here that there are two old saints of God. One was named Simeon, another was named Anna, and they were in the temple. They were those who served God in the temple, and they were there because the Bible also says the Holy Ghost had led them there. And when they met Jesus that day, even though Jesus was just an infant, the Bible tells us that both of them were overjoyed and they begin to lift up praise to the Lord. And that's what I want us to focus on in this text today, is this praise of Simeon and Anna. And what we see here can teach us some things about the matter of praise. Like I said, Christmas is over. The year, 2025, is just a couple of days from being over. And we can look at that and we probably should realize that, you know what, we've just lived another year of life. And God has been very faithful to us. The Lord has provided for us. The Lord has kept us. The Lord's protected us. In your life, the Lord has blessed you in countless ways. Maybe we're not always thankful for them, but countless ways the Lord has blessed you. And as this year comes to an end, really what we ought to be is thankful unto the Lord. And we ought to praise Him and bless Him. And that's really what this text is about. These old saints of God who were blessing the Lord. And as we realize where we are, we think back to the fact that we've covered another year of life. We should be thankful to the Lord and full of praise to Him as well. And there's some lessons that we can learn out of this passage that we very much need to hear. Because we can be people who can get grumpy and we can be unthankful and our focus can be on the wrong things when we ought to be characterized by as people who are thankful to the Lord for how good God is to us. So I want us to spend a little time this afternoon looking at these two people and make some applications, and prayerfully it'll be encouraging and challenging to you this afternoon as well, especially with our perspective on things. Let's pray. Lord, help us today. Thank You for Your Word again. And Lord, I pray that we would focus in here for just a few minutes on how thankful Simeon and Anna were and how their life was built on promises from God. And when You revealed them through the Spirit of God, it caused them to be overjoyed, full of thankfulness unto You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be the same kind of people. We We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice with me the motive for the praise. The Bible tells us that in our text, in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him as the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And he had a few words to say of praise unto the Lord. So when Simeon enters into the temple and he takes Jesus into his arms, this old man declares for everybody to hear the reason for his joy. And in his speech here, he gives us three things, three motives for praising the Lord that I believe are just as valid today as it was then. Notice in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The first motive for his praise was praising because of who appeared. These verses tell us that he states here that he could depart in peace because his eyes had seen thy salvation. This man is named Simeon. The name Simeon means he who hears. And apparently he had been hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 26 says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had been told that he would not die until he had seen the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world, until he had seen him for himself with his own eyes. And so when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus in, and old Simeon sees Jesus, he is somehow notified or impressed or told by the Holy Spirit of God that the one that you've got in your hands right now is the Lord's Christ. And so he begins to praise the Lord because of who had just entered into this world. Verse 26 calls him the Lord's Christ. Verse 30 calls him the Lord's salvation. Simeon understood this. Simeon understood who this was. But very few others did. On the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds were told who he was. Of course, the angels knew who he was, but most didn't. Even when Jesus was being circumcised, the priest who performed that custom didn't know who this baby was. There were other people in the temple that day, and the Bible tells us that Anna spoke of him to all of these people. They didn't know who this child was and is. We know today. We have God's Word. It was the Spirit of God who told Simeon, this is God in human flesh. It was the Spirit of God that impressed upon Simeon that this is the Lamb of God that was promised and prepared from the foundation of the world. It was the Spirit of God that told Simeon, this is the Savior, the Lord's salvation, the one who would save sinners. He's the only way to God. This was the one that was promised. Simeon was excited because the promised one had appeared. He knew who Jesus was. But the question is, do you know? You've heard about Jesus. You've been taught about Jesus. But do you know who Jesus really is? If you're saved and you know the Lord, you can praise him, just like Simeon did, amen? You ought to praise him. But then notice verse 30 through 32. Not only praise because of who had arrived, but praise because of why he arrived. Verse 30 says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon praises God the Father for this baby, this named Jesus. But he tells us a little bit about why Jesus came into the world. He understood from verse 30 that Jesus is salvation, and we've covered that. But then we're told that he's come to change the whole world. The rest of these verses say, "You've prepared him before the face of all people. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The ministry and the life of Jesus Christ would not just impact the Jewish nation, but it would reach into the whole Gentile world. Basically, Simeon is saying that Jesus came into this world to save everyone. Amen. Whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, he provides salvation. That's the promise of God. Here's the application. Reason why we should praise the Lord. The truth that Jesus came into this world to set me free from my sin is a true motive for praise. This is very personal. This is very personal to me. That I could be set free. I know what I was. And I know the bondage of my sin, the chains of it. But not today. Not today! Because he came into this world to save my soul. Do you ever lose the joy of your salvation? Do you ever lose sight of the fact that you were once a wretch, deserving of God's judgment? But not today. Do you ever fail to praise the Lord simply because he came to set you free? I think it's amazing that he would love me enough to die for me, to save me by his grace. Friend, there are times, I thank the Lord for this, when these times happen, that I'm just so overwhelmed with thankfulness to the Lord because I'm saved, that it becomes a thought that is beyond the power of words to describe. But I'm also ashamed when I get off track and I lose sight of the fact that God is so good to me and I'm saved today, and I'm thinking about all the problems, and I'm thinking about the people, and I'm thinking about the this and the that, and it gets my mood all out of whack, and I lose sight of the fact that, listen, life is so good, actually, simply because I'm set free from my sin. I'm saved. Reason to praise the Lord. If you can't find any other reason to praise the Lord, surely you can praise him because he loved you so much that he endured the horror of the cross and took your place where you and I should be. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." Bless the name of the Lord for that. Amen. Look at verse 34 and 35. Not only praise because of who came into this world, not only praise because of why he arrived, but praise because of what he would accomplish. Verse 34 says, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon continues his praise by giving a prophecy, actually, of what Jesus would accomplish in his life. And in these verses, he speaks of a stone, a sign, and a sword. He says that this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That phrase, the fall and rising again of many in Israel, it actually refers to the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy in Psalm 118. Turn over there. Psalm 118, verse 22. It says, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. The stone which the builders rejected or refused is become the head of the corner." In Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 14, he's called this stone of stumbling, this rock of offense. In Isaiah 8, 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." What he's referring to in our text in this prophecy, that he's going to be set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, he's referring to Jesus Christ, who is this stone of stumbling. Many in Israel would stumble because of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own received him not. He became the stone that the builders rejected. They would stumble in rejection and conviction. They did not want to receive him as their Messiah. But a few would rise again in salvation. Jesus is that stone of stumbling. And the Bible tells us that he is the cornerstone. The Bible tells us that if you fall on this stone, you'll be broken. But if this stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. It's Jesus Christ. And if you fall on this stone, you'll be broken. Yes, you'll be broken of your pride. You'll be broken of your arrogance. You'll be broken of your self-righteousness. But if you refuse and that stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. Destruction, everlasting destruction. Jesus is the one. He was set for the fall and the rising again of his people. And I would say to you today, everything in your life, your spiritual life particularly, hinges on what you believe about Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected him. He can be rejected again today. But how you answer the question of who is Jesus Christ determines where your soul stands in relationship to God and could determine where your soul's going to spend eternity. Simeon also speaks of a sign. He says in our text, if you go back to it, not only was he set for the fall and rising, but he says he's also for a sign which shall be spoken against. The word sign here, it literally means miracle. Jesus Christ is God's miracle. But the Jews, instead of receiving him as the gift and revelation of God, the Jews attacked him. His enemies attacked him. They crucified him. His birth was a miracle. They attacked it. They said, "You were born of fornication." His miracles that he performed in his ministry, they were ridiculed. And they even said, "You do that by the power of the devil." His character was called into question. They mocked him. When he died, they lied about his resurrection. They did not want to receive him. They questioned and rejected the Lord's Christ. Then Simeon talks about a sword. He says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." as he talks about this sword, he's talking to Mary. Of course, he's talking about Mary's pain that she would experience. She suffered as she watched Jesus go to the cross. The ultimate hurt came the day that she watched them crucify the Lord Jesus. But the bottom line of all this is that Jesus Christ entered this world to provide salvation for sinful men. And we ought to thank God for this wonderful truth. We ought to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be that chief cornerstone. Amen. And when you stop to think about who He is, why He came, what He accomplished, you can see that you and I have real motive for praising the Lord. The next thing I want you to note is the method. As we see Simeon and Anna magnifying the name of the Lord, there's some lessons that we can learn here. First of all, notice what their praise was like in verse 28. Verse 28 says, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." You see, his praise was vocal. Simeon didn't just see Jesus and rejoice in his heart. "Hey, I finally saw him. I'm just rejoicing in my soul." He didn't just rejoice in his heart. He opened up his mouth and he lifted up his voice in praise to the Lord. He didn't keep what he was feeling just bottled up inside. He let it out for a particular reason, for the glory of the Lord. His praise was visible, not just vocal, too. In verse 28, it tells us how he took him up in his arms and he lifted him up. He involved the entire person in this act of praise. He lifted Jesus. He held him up high and he praised the Lord. What I'm saying is he wasn't embarrassed to visibly praise his Redeemer. In verse 38, this is Anna, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And what did she do? She spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She wasn't quiet herself. She was very vocal, but she adds something else here. Simeon lifted up his hands and his heart to the Lord. Anna praises the Lord, but she also tells others about what the Lord is doing. If we look in the Word of God, we find the Bible speaks a lot about the matter of praise. In Psalm 47:1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." This praise wasn't just in their heart. Clap your hands. Shout to God in praise. Psalm 98:4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Rejoice. Sing praise." Psalm 135:1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto His name, for it is pleasant." God thinks it's pleasant. Hebrews 13:15, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Hey, I'm praising God in my heart. Well, the verse goes on and says, what is this praise of God that we should offer? This sacrifice of praise. It is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto the Lord. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Praising the Lord! Singing, saying, talking, praising the Lord out of thankfulness. We get so grumpy. And the older I get, the grumpier I get. Don't agree with that, Jovi. Jovi is shaking her head like, truth, word. She's not lying. We need to just get back to the fact that God is so good to me. No matter what, God is good to me. And I've got reasons to praise Him. even when it's 44 below outside. Job told me it was 58 below at his house last night. 58 below. I don't think I've seen that. I don't think it's been that cold in the almost 13 years I've lived here. But I don't think there's much difference between 47 below and 58 below. It's, yeah, not much difference. It's just cold. But what is that? It's cold for a while, but I'm saved. And the Lord's keeping me warm, and the Lord keeps me fed, and the Lord provides for me. My car starts because it's in a warm garage. Always doesn't because it's outside. God's good, and I can praise Him. Psalm 63:4, thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to Thy name. As long as I am living, I should bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Psalm 151:13 says, then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise to the Lord is pleasant. It looks good on the saints of God because of who God is. And I'll finish with this. Notice what happens, the result of praise. The text tells us that as the name of the Lord was publicly praised by Simeon and Anna, there were some things that took place. And these same things can happen today when God's people take the time to praise the Lord for who He is, for what He's done, what He's doing, what He's promised to do, what He will do. First of all, we note that the Lord was exalted. In verse 28, it tells us, He took him up in His arms and blessed God. He blessed the Lord. Verse 38, Anna gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him. The Lord was exalted. It brought glory to God when He was praised in the temple. Everything about them would have been about procedure and ritual and the plan and all the things that they had to do in the temple. But this is sort of like a break from all of those things. Instead of going about or focusing on procedure and so on, the focus was on the Lord because He had fulfilled His promise. You know, today when the Lord is praised, when the Lord is exalted in His church, in this world, Jesus Christ is lifted up. When we forget about our routines and our traditions, and our focus is off of ourselves, and our focus is on Him, He's exalted. Not only is He exalted, but the saints are edified. In verse 33, the Bible says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Him. Mary and Joseph heard these praises. They were given hope and encouragement by these praises from these precious saints of God. And you know, there are times when I don't feel much like praising the Lord, or I don't feel much like giving thanks, and I'll come to church and somebody will share a testimony with me about something God did for them this week, something how God provided for them. And when I start to listen and pay attention, I can't help but be convicted in my own soul, and my mood changes or my attitude changes. You ever felt like that? I don't want to go to church today. But then you come because you know you should. And you're here at church and you get to talking and singing and you hear the preaching, and all of a sudden your mood is different. You go home changed. You go home different than how you came because the Lord was magnified. Saints get edified when the Lord is focused on, when the Lord is exalted. We have every reason to praise Him. Not only were saints edified, but we see that sinners were evangelized. In verse 38, it says that Anna spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Bible says she spake of him. Hey, what a topic of conversation. The Lord Jesus, amen? She was verbal in her praise. She spoke of the Lord to let others know who He was. And I'll just make a quick application before I close here. You never know what your testimony, a little praise, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, seed planting, you never know what that's going to accomplish. God can take His people who are full of thanks unto Him, who praise His name, who simply brag on the Lord to other people. God can take that and plant seeds in a person's heart that He can use to turn their heart toward Him. There's something attractive about a child of God who is saved, who's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus, who's full of thanks and praise unto the Lord. There's something attractive about that. You know what's not attractive? People who are saved, they got their doctrine right, but they're old grumps. Nothing to thank the Lord for. The world doesn't want that. When Jesus was born, there was excitement. Heaven was excited. The angels came and told the shepherds. Those shepherds heard the praise of those angels. They went to see for themselves. They met Jesus, and the Bible says they came away praising, rejoicing in God for the things that they had heard and seen. And then you know what they did? They went and told everybody about it. Then when Jesus was taken to the temple 40 days after His birth, He was greeted by the praises of these two elderly saints who couldn't contain their love for the Lord. All through Jesus' life, the Bible tells us that those who loved Him, they praised Him. The Bible tells us that God the Father, on two occasions, said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was praised. So, all of that to say this, if you're saved, you've got reason to praise the Lord. Have you been? Have you been? Or is what has characterized your life lately is something other than praise to the Lord? Maybe unthankfulness, some grumbling, some doubt, some fears. Why not get back to the reasons we have to praise the Lord? Why not get back to exalting His name? Why not get back to edifying the saints of God because of the goodness of God in your life? Why not get back to just bragging on our great Savior? Of course, if you're lost today, you have a different set of needs. Before I close, notice verse 30 again. He says, "For mine eyes have seen Thy salvation." And He says, "Now I can depart." Why? Because I've seen Your salvation. Simeon talks about departing from this world because he'd seen the Lord's salvation. And I'm making a point here. It's vital. It's vital. If you're here today and you're not saved, that you see God's salvation before you depart from this life. Because when death comes, it's too late. And so I would challenge you today, if you need to be saved, there's no better time than right now. The Lord is offering gift of salvation to you. As we close here, let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to have our piano player come. We're just going to end the day today with a question. What did you learn today? Maybe another question. Have you been thankful unto the Lord? Have you been praising Him? He's been good to you. Lived another year of life. He's been faithful all of that time. We look ahead to what may be coming the next year. We don't know if we even have tomorrow. But what we do know is that God's been good to us in this last year. Well, Pastor, you don't know all the troubles and all the things I've gone through this last year. It's been a tough year. Well, man is of a few days and full of trouble. That's the human condition. That doesn't mean that God hasn't been good, and it doesn't mean that we don't have reason to praise Him. As the piano plays, just do some thinking. Talk to the Lord. What did you learn today? What did you take away? What did God speak to you about? Respond to Him.